All right, welcome everybody. I'd like to call the Thursday, October 23rd, 2014 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education to order. If we could all rise to state the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And can we have the roll call? I don't know why I always mess that up, Todd. Oh, well. I just want to start with have a patriotic start before we have our roll call. So,
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. All right. Can I have a motion to approve our agenda for tonight?
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers?
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now we have our Employee of the Month for September.
One here?
I don't think she was going to be able to be there.
Okay. Do you have her sheet?
Yes.
We'll go ahead and recognize Lynn, even though I don't think she was able to attend this evening. Our Employee of the Month is Lynn Blackburn, who's an employee of Marysville High School, where she serves in an aide capacity and does various jobs throughout the building. The comments that she was recommended for: Lynn does an excellent job at everything she undertakes and stays positive in the course of some very stressful situations. She works extremely well with our high school students who need extra tutoring in all subjects. She connects well with the kids and staff, and she has a talent for helping them understand the more advanced topics and giving them self-confidence as lifelong learners. Additionally, Lynn helps out at the board office in the summer. We all benefit from the help she provides us. She has excellent communication skills, is extremely organized, reliable, and computer literate. Having been in the district and helping at the board office in the past, she is knowledgeable in helping fellow staff, parents, and community members. She works independently on any given task and follows through on every detail, leaving no loose ends to worry about. She accomplishes all of this with superior initiative and extremely positive attitude. She's an incredible asset to our district and a joy to work with. So we'll congratulate Lynn. Make sure we get her gift card,
all right,
too. So.
That's great. All right. Next up on our agenda is a presentation from Northwood Elementary. Ms. Hackett.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Well, first of all, welcome to Northwood. If you get a chance sometime when the weather's great, go out back. Scott's just built a fence for our new garden, and we're getting ready. Diane afforded me a grant, and we just applied for a grant for $2,000 to continue our gardens. Scott's going to help us get our indoor garden starting, so as soon as we got conferences over and gave the teachers a chance to breathe, we're getting ready to start that. And we just got a grant, found out today, we got a Walmart Foundation grant for $2,600 for iPad minis for some of our intervention acceleration groups. So, just wanted to share that good news. It's always
great.
Nice. Today I'm presenting for my quick 3 minutes positive behavior intervention supports. The state, all the schools across the state of Ohio, had to survey their teachers and come up with a plan so that there were school-wide discipline systems in order, and also to create positive culture and to have a unifying system. Obviously, we don't want bullying in our schools. We want our kids to, you know, turn into leaders. And Marysville's been ahead of that curve because we started Covey, I don't know, 8 years ago? About 8 years? Has it been about 8 or 9 years? And so we had a really easy transition because we had already been doing some of these things. And this is just a little bit about PBIS from the state. It's a systemic approach to proactive school-wide behavior based on a response to intervention model, and we want to make sure that we hit those. Everyone's doing that tier one, and that's where all children are getting that support they need to make those good choices and be leaders in our building. and it's an evidence-based program, practices and strategies to increase our academic performance, improve safety, decrease behavior problems, and establish a positive school culture. And it's just a proactive way to dealing with behavior. And at Northwood, some of the things that we, as a framework for systems to identify needs, develop strategies, evaluate practices, and we've done climate surveys, of course, with our learning outcomes, and basically at our retreat, we worked on looking at reviewing what we have right now and where we need to go. So that's what you're going to see a little bit of. And also, I put this in here because sometimes when we talk about RTI, it's really vague for people. So the Tier 1 is where you're getting the majority of the students. Not all students need that extreme Tier 2 support, and very few need that third. And with Northwood housing all the students in ED, we really wanted to make sure that we were reviewing our programs, how are we working together. The staffs looked at our code of conduct. Matter of fact, we redid that. You'll see that in here. So we're just trying to make sure that we're hitting all of our groups of students and that we really have things to hit their specific needs. And the first thing is we went through and we developed our new code of conduct, which is ROAR. You're going to get to see in just a minute. We have a clip of it. And we procured this. We saw this at another workshop, and the staff really liked it. And it's ROAR. The kids love roaring in the morning. If you come here, you'll hear the kids roar first thing. We incorporated our cubby habits in it. And the teachers during teacher in service made a matrix, and you'll see that. And then our positive reinforcement is our lion's pride. Kids get, you know, kind of the old copy and good thing, but we added a spin on it. And this is when our teachers were going through and they were working together. Everybody had input on the, you'll see the matrix out in the hallways. Everybody had a part of it, and we went around and had teams, and we rotated to make sure that everybody's voice was heard. And not a great picture of our ROAR, but we saw this framework, and this is what all the teachers worked on. And as we go through the year, we'll be tweaking it with students and making sure that all of our kids have consistency, that there's one plan for Northwood, how our expectations are the same, and also what we expect for students to do. Everybody's consistently implementing it. And we put the cubby habits in there. I'm learning how to cut and paste. And this is our morning announcements. This is some of our second graders. We're getting ready to have our leadership rally. Teams develop the leadership rally. We sometimes have speakers. This month's the leadership rally is on Monday, and we're incorporating some of the red ribbon activities, but also, again, our covey and making sure that our themes are throughout. And the kids get to, some of our kids will be performing skits that they write. Our teachers sometimes write skits and songs. And we just want to make sure that that consistent message is heard throughout the land. You know, everybody's hearing the same message. Okay. And this is just a little bit about our ROAR and also our Lion's Pride. It's a way to recognize modeling leadership of a leadership habit or following a code of conduct. The award can be given by any staff member. and the students bring it to the office, and we have some cool bracelets and also some necklaces, and they get their name recognized by their peers, and they're also, it's hung up under our lion. And just again, that consistent message, making sure the kids know what's expected, and that also we recognize the good things they're doing. And that's what the form looks like. And this is when Mrs. A, our Oslinier, our counselor, she is she's doing Alliance Pride. She's in the cafeteria working with the students. And also at lunchtime we do the silver plate lunch, and you know, a lot of times there's a lot of kids that are really good that are good all the time, and so Mrs. A and the people that work in the cafeteria, they'll pick out kids that deserve to get the special lunch. We put plates and napkins, we have tablecloths, and again, you know, another way to recognize the good things they're doing. Also, the kids love sitting at a table together and talking, because a lot of our kids don't experience family, you know, that family dinner, that family time. So it's another way that we try to get kids involved. And you would be surprised how many kids want to make sure they get to be part of that silver plate lunch. So just another way. Yeah, also, it's a great way to teach manners. It's amazing. And basically, to wrap up, you know, all the schools in Marysville, one of the consistencies we've had is the Covey. And while we don't do as much of that because there's so many things, it is such an important part. And we have kids, when they go to other schools, you know, parents always reflect upon us talking about Covey and the theme of leadership. And I think as kids set goals and work in their data notebooks, it's just so important that we keep those pieces, because it's a part of the culture. You know, when the kids walk in, it was interesting. The kids haven't seen a lot of visitors yet. You know, this time of year, we haven't brought a lot of people through. So Mrs. Devine, it was interesting. Kids were like, can we come up and talk to her? So, you know, they're getting ready to work on their next thing, and that's when a person walks in the room. They don't scream teachers on, teacher on board, or whatever the one girl screamed. I mean, you know, teacher on the deck, teacher on the deck. you know, to get where the kids are starting, our older kids are starting to do with visitors to be greeters, and we want to make sure those things continue. And when someone walks into the room, obviously to greet them and make sure that we address them. So those, all those little things, they may not sound like a lot, but the teachers spend a lot of time on staff modeling, and the kids know what to expect. And I think that's really important for consistency and also for safety here at Northwood. Thanks.
Thank you. I just want to make a comment that, like you said, I visited the other day, and I really appreciate your focus on developing those relationships with the families of all of the kids here, and you have breakfast buddies with the different grade levels, bring the parents in, and I think the more involvement you have with the parents in that, I think studies have shown how much that helps with their education and helps with their success. And also your comment about the partnership with Scott's. I mean, it's amazing, that garden out there. I got to see pictures of it when everything was blooming, and now the indoor gardens, it's just a great tool to teach so many different things. So.
Well, and it's led into other things, like the whole discussion about farming a part of the land and having community gardens here. Mm-hmm. That's come up. And parents, we have a new family, and he's like, well, you need a tree. You need to prune that tree. And that's what he does for a living. Mm-hmm. He came over last weekend. I unlocked so he could use the power. Mm-hmm. And he's out there trimming our trees back there where the fence is going. You know, he just saw it. He goes, Missy, when you need me, call. He goes, it increases my property value mm-hmm. when this place looks good. Then I got the Girl Scouts. They're going to raise money and do fundraisers to get some evergreen trees up here. Nice. Because we need more trees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then it was like snowballing, you know. And, of course, I like to talk to strangers. So when I'm out, you know, I try to find any way I can get volunteers or community mm-hmm. people to help. So it's just really important. And I think it's, you know, our test scores are so important and our work that teachers do with the kids. But the bottom line is, if you don't have a safe, cohesive culture where parents and kids come here, you're not going to move those other things forward. So I just think it's a very important part, and I appreciate you coming and visiting.
Sure. Thank you.
Do you want
That's
me
right.
to keep this on?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I also appreciate that theme of catching kids being good. It's mm-hmm. really easy to catch the kids being bad sometimes, unfortunately, or those are the things we tend to notice. So I appreciate your efforts as a staff to, you know, reward the good behavior. So
tomorrow's Catch My Staff Being Good Day. Oh. So we have Dan the Deli coming. Oh. And so Dan the Deli's coming and doing lunch for the staff tomorrow.
Nice.
I have an awesome staff.
All right. Ready to move on to number 6, our superintendent's report.
I have a few things to share. First of all, Craig could not be here this evening, so I will give a probably not as amusing update, construction update. The flooring should be done by November 6th in the early college building, and at this point we're kind of working on punch list type items. We are shooting to have an open house the first week of December, just to give us plenty of time. I've put feelers out for with all our partners, and they're giving me feedback to kind of prioritize what night seems to be the best to make sure we don't have any conflicts or minimal conflicts. So once I get that, I'll let you know when that is. We have a flyer ready to go to every household in Marysville to welcome them to attend. I feel like we're headed in the right direction there. We just need to get things finished up. If you haven't been through in a while, it's
yes.
coming together nicely. It's just taking a little more time than some of us would like. So, but this part is kind of the, you know, nitty gritty detail pieces. All the furniture, I think, is there now. They have to lay the carpeting in the, what used to be the choir room, which is the lecture hall, before they mm-hmm. can mount the permanent seating in there. So you won't see that if you go in, but it is in. And everything else is in. So it's wrapping up finally. I'm not sure what Kathy will do with all her free time now, but so we'll look for that date coming up. But I imagine it's going to be Wednesday of that week, but I don't want to commit to that yet.
Okay.
As you know, let's see. I'm going to skip around here. The beginning of October, I had the opportunity to go to Harvard and talk with people from around the nation about the things that are happening in Marysville and in Ohio with Pathways to Prosperity. And what I can tell you is people were amazed that we were able to spend that much money in such a short amount of time. But there were about 12 other states there represented, all doing different things around Pathways to Prosperity. So we had the opportunity to share and learn from one another, an idea, a share. We're networking in a group now. So it was a great opportunity to kind of brag a little bit about the great stuff happening with the Mobile Fab Lab and Pathways at the high school and the early college building, as well as learn what other states are doing as initiatives. Ohio's unique in that we're doing a regional, kind of a central Ohio approach, where other states have adopted something larger, and it's a statewide initiative. So it was kind of interesting to hear about the involvement and how that has transpired in other states as well. So that was pretty exciting. Currently, our eighth grader, middle school, are in D.C., so if you tweet, mm-hmm. they're doing a great job of updating pictures. I'm trying to retweet them as quickly as they're coming in, so hopefully I don't miss anyone. But certainly looks like they're having a great time and seeing lots of great monuments and activities. There's some great pictures today that I've sent out as well, so all is well there. I'd like to talk briefly. We had a high school, had a dog search team come through this week. We sent a letter out to parents of the high school as well. I think you received that letter. Mm-hmm. There were no drug-related arrests as a part of that. We continue to spread the message that that's not going to be acceptable in our school district. So I was pleased with that as well. And certainly, you know, there were dogs from as far away as Pickerington and beyond. So mm-hmm. it's certainly a collaborative effort with our police force as well. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk briefly about an incident we had yesterday at Raymond Elementary. Certainly we've sent multiple letters out to district, to the Raymond parents, and to all the parents of Marysville schools. But we had a situation in which prior to the school day, so SAC, our before school care, was in session. There was an unidentified female in the building. Had a conversation with the custodian. The custodian did not recognize that individual and enacted the safety plan as a result. When she went back to look for the individual was gone. We enacted our safety plan, which included the county sheriff's office, as well as our crisis team. A sweep was done of the entire building, as well as a video investigation. They were prepared to bring the dogs in because we had been unsuccessful, but we were able to align everything on video. It just took quite a bit of time. We have kind of an antiquated system in Raymond. And we were able to locate the person. The individual was a parent who had taken their child to SAC and got turned around in the building. The custodian did not recognize the parent because she was brand new. And so the good news is our staff knows our parents very well in that building, and we're able to identify a stranger. We enacted our safety plan, and everything went well. Just took a little time and a little patience, but certainly the kids were phenomenal. They really were. I happened to catch Carol talk to the kids, and they received it well. Actually, when they were leaving, they thanked the sheriff for making sure the building was safe. So I thought that was pretty amazing. And as well, I talked to parents. Parents were receptive. We received several emails today thanking us for taking the time. The thought that someone, that they didn't start school on time because there was someone we didn't know was okay with parents. So was very pleased with the response and how everything went. Certainly Carol's leadership and custodian. Mike, we were all there very early trying to get to the bottom of it. It just took a little longer than we wanted, but everything went very well, so we're pleased with that as well.
And we certainly appreciate, I mean, you did a nice job of communicating with us as well, you know, just the quick updates at the beginning, and then we kind of let you take charge, and with the help of everybody else, I mean, I think you guys did a great job of making sure everyone was safe, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, our first ring of response is always going to be who's impacted by that building. And I think Carol did a great job at that, letting parents know. And then we were able to, when everything had settled down, let the larger district know. Mm-hmm. And then all parents know. And you know, that's aligned with our plan. And we've spent a lot of time over that on right. that plan the past couple of years. So, you know, we'll continue to revise. And but I think things went pretty well.
Agreed.
That's all I have.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Mr. Johnson, Treasurer's Report.
I would also like to thank everyone for coming tonight. It's normally lonely mm-hmm. at our meetings, so I appreciate everyone coming out.
Thanks for stalling.
Trying to get open. Yeah.
Okay, a couple things to present tonight. Tonight is the second reading of the October 5-year forecast. I went in pretty good detail at last month's meeting, so I'm just going to kind of hit the high points again for tonight. As we noted last month, in the five-year forecast we're presenting tonight, we have revenues exceeding expenditures in each of the projected years, all the way out to fiscal year 19. I do like to point out that you can see the lines get much closer together there towards the end. You know, if we were to project that out even another year, those lines would end up crossing and we'd have expenditures exceeding revenue. But in the short term there, we're looking pretty good, which leads to an ending balance that's increasing. Have a nice, healthy ending balance throughout the five-year forecast, which leads to a forecast that meets the board's cash balance policy. I would note that this slide will be much simpler next year, assuming that the policies that we're going to be looking at get approved, right. Because we're going to simplify the cash balance policy a little bit. Won't be quite too many bars in there next time. But it's definitely good news to have a strong forecast, good financial footing for the district. I'd like to point out that looking at our state versus local funding, state funding makes up about 56% of our operating revenue. There's good and bad to that. The good side is that the state's providing that funding for us, which means the community's not having to kick that amount in. The bad news is we're kind of at risk with state dollars. In fiscal year 14 and fiscal 15, good news, we got some additional state funding for our per pupil revenue. But the risk in this forecast, we've got two new biennial budgets that we're forecasting in the out years, so not real sure what the state will do with the new biennial budgets. We're projecting relatively flat revenue with minor increases. The other part of that with the state revenue would be our tangible personal property reimbursements. That's about $5.6 million annually. I think the area of the forecast that we feel is most at risk, with the state legislators saying that they're not in favor of guarantees, and I think that would be one of the first ones that they would probably look to get rid of if they could. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. I'd like to point out our levy history. We had passed a new millage levy in 1998. The next one after that was in 2008. Based on the current forecast, we would be out there in the fiscal 19 and beyond. So, I think it's pretty common these days. You're seeing schools with a 3-4 year levy cycle. We've been, going with a decade or more levy cycle. So I think that points really well to, how we're handling the community's dollars. Risk factors. Already talked about the tangible personal property, that $5.6 million, about 10% of our budget, so we definitely need to keep an eye on that. As I mentioned, we received some new money from the state in this current biennial budget, so we'll see what happens on the next biennial budget, whether we get some additional funding, whether they look to take it away. Definitely keep an eye on that. As I noted, our commercial property rates have rolled up based on some decreases we received there in valuations. So if the commercial property values would continue to go down significantly, we could end up losing some funding there. And as I always mention, you know, as this forecast looks really strong right now, we do need to continue to monitor expenses because, you know, anything we do has an effect beyond the forecasted years as well. Any questions? Like I said, I kind of went broad right here, so feel free to ask any questions.
I mean, I think all of us have spent some additional time with you and had all of our questions answered. I mean, I think you've done a nice job with the forecast, and I think you've been conservative where you need to be conservative, and we can keep our fingers crossed for the next biennial budget. So.
And I think you've raised the point, because I know you and I have talked about it, that the state biennium budget, every 2 years, the state decides how they're going to fund education. Everything's on the table. And so it creates great difficulty for a school district to look out 5 years and say, this is where we're going to go. The state of Ohio is looking out 2 years. And so I think the assumptions you've made raise proper caution in that area.
Appreciate all the hard work that you're doing. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will move on then. The next item I'll be talking about is the much anticipated permanent improvement forecast. This presentation is related to an item on the agenda that will be coming up soon related to the bond millage. So this will just get some information related to that.
Maybe. You need some more stalling, Todd?
Well, this is an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, and leave it, though. That's for the shoot.
Numbers are a little small. If you really want to dig into the details, we can walk through it in great detail. We completed this 20-year forecast for the Permanent Improvement Fund. It's been a couple months back. Jeff Gordon had come and he had talked about the expenditure side, looking at the inventory, the replacement cycles of the district's assets and things like that. So I took that information, inputted that in the expenditure side of this forecast, met with some of our department heads and made some tweaks to kind of tailor it even further, you know, further down for our district. And I wouldn't really call those expenditures still, you know, I think there's still some tweaks to be made. And obviously when you're talking 20 years, there's going to be a lot of tweaks throughout. But I think this gets us a good start, and we'll just continue to discuss as we go. I brought in revenue projections. We've got a real estate tax, tangible personal, that's the PUP tax there. Below there, line 1.05. Property tax allocation. In that line, there's about $500,000 of tangible personal property reimbursement. So just as I mentioned in the general fund forecast, that same funding is at risk in our permanent improvement forecast as well. Mm-hmm. So that's about $500,000 for our PI fund. And I did want to note that I'm not going to go real deep into the expenditures and the details at this meeting, unless you feel free to ask questions, and we can dig in if you like. We'll be getting into those details at a finance committee meeting in November, and you know, hitting some of those details a little harder. Below the property tax allocation, we have our TIF revenues. So that revenue is about a little over $1 million each year. and I'll get into that at another tab, but that's part of the revenue that we've been setting aside each year to help cover our debt proceeds that are needed. As I mentioned, we broke it down by department. We've got expenditure projections based on new school buses, custodial maintenance equipment, classroom furniture, roofing, asphalt, all the way down. One thing I wanted to point out there, with $2.165 million, I've got that there listed as other expenses. What that really is, if you remember several months back, we had that dollar amount sitting in a construction fund, 004 fund. We needed to move that money, so we moved it to the debt service fund. Well, that money really was set aside for the early college high school and any repairs that needed to be made there. So what that really did was free up that money in the PI fund. So that money is still set aside in there for those needs. And below there is one of the lines we're really going to focus on tonight is what I call the operating transfers out. We've got a little over $1.7 million all the way up to a little over $2 million each year. That's where we're transferring money out of the permanent improvement fund to the bond, to the debt service fund to help cover our annual debt. So looking at the debt tab on the forecast, our annual debt service needs from $7.5 million to just over $8 million annually. Again, we have the tangible personal property hold harmless in the debt service fund as well. So that's to the tune of $1.5 million in the bond fund. So again, a little bit of risk there. The next column there, the projected TIF revenues used for debt. This column is the amount of money that is needed from the PI fund to help subsidize the debt payments. So you can see that dollar amount is actually even higher than what the TIF revenue is. So we're really eating into the other PI money as well to help cover the debt service fund. We're looking at, on average, $1.7 million, anywhere to about $2 million each year of PI money being used to cover debt. I did want to note the line there for total debt service, that number, whenever we talk about our refundings, our bond refundings that we do, that's the line there. That column is where we're going to see that savings. So last year we had done a refunding, saved about $800,000 combined on those lines. The year prior, in 2013, we'd done two refundings where we saved another $800,000. So each time, on a one-year basis, it might not make a huge difference, but when you're looking at the totality of all the column combined, it's a really large savings for the community. So projected net millage needed for voted debt, this number would be higher, but it's currently capped at 6.7. Our county auditor, Andrea Weaver's here. I thought she might give you guys a little bit of details about the cap debt, why we're looking at this now, the timing.
Andrea, hi. Thank you for coming.
This is the TCC number I used. Clearly, that must be too low. What you just said was 1.5.
Okay.
As your treasurer said, there are two kinds of levies that are not dependent, that the rate doesn't float. It's set based on the debt service, and one of them is emergency levies, the other is debt. It's like a bond issue like this. And what Ohio law allows is when voters pass a bond issue, the amount of money that is to be collected or the millage that is stated on that levy language is pretty much to service that note on its annual debt service. So as values go up or down, as the refinancing that your treasurer spoke about occurs and your annual debt service changes, then every year when the election happens and I get the reduction factors that are figured from the state and rates are handed to us because I don't calculate those in-house, I have to look at the debt service for every one of those emergency levies and or debt levies for every school that whose home is in Union County. So North Union, Fairbanks, and Marysville are, this is their home county. And all of y'all have some kind of fixed sum levy. And so what I do is look at those amortization schedules to see. And as your treasurer said, the refunding that you have done in 13 and 14 has lowered that cash outflow and your debt service. But to be made whole, in other words, to allow the debt levies to cover the debt expenses, my calculation was a little bit different than his because I was using a slightly higher TPP reimbursement figure. By using the 1.5 that he has, it really is about 2.7 mils. The calculation that we do, which is kind of a tried and true formula, takes what is your debt service? Now, I would need to know only what is the debt service for calendar year 2015. What are you going to have to cut a check for sometime in the 12 months of 2015? And then we take any cash that you have on hand in this debt fund. Well, clearly, if you're borrowing from other sources, borrowing, I use that term lightly, if you're taking money from other sources to help cover your debt payments, then you don't have any excess of cash in the debt fund. So that would be zero. Adding to that, we add the 5% delinquency rate. It was 7%, but last year the delinquency rate countywide was only 3%. So being the conservative woman that I am, I'm going to not go all the way up to the 3. I'm going to kind of split the difference and end at 5. So that's assuming that all the stars don't align, the gods are not smiling, and not everybody pays their tax on time. So do you still have enough money to cover your debt service? So I add 5%. And then that total number then becomes the needed cash, the amount of cash you need to cover your debt service for 1 year. And you divide that number by the total valuation of the district to come up with a millage rate. So it's a pretty simple calculation when you just basically take what do we need. Oh, sorry. I see this in my mind. What do we need divided by what do we own? It gives you the rate that you got to assess.
Right, good so right job. Now, good job.
The taxes that everybody paid in 2014 reflected a 6.7 mil millage rate. So by my calculations, roughly, you need 8.7. Mm-hmm. So you would have to increase your millage something more than 2 mils. When I walked in the door, it was at 1.95. But because you have less TPP than I thought you had, one good bit of news, and this is tentative news because I don't have a certified abstract yet, is that now all the new construction is in. When I had last shared with you my auditor's estimate, which was in early September, all of our new construction wasn't quite finished, and the state had not given us public utility values yet. That is one area of value that I personally am not responsible for. Mm-hmm. The state tells us whatever the utilities are worth every year, whether it's railroads or URE or, you know, the big towers, wherever they are. And that has gone up significantly. Right. So the total value for the district is well over $703 million, and that is assessed value. So that does help because you're talking about dividing by a bigger number in the denominator.
Right.
Getting your algebra out. So it does mean that the millage rate is going to be a little bit less than it might otherwise have needed to be.
Right.
But it's still probably going to be at
over
least two mils.
Right.
Give or take, depending on what that TPP is. So that rate does change from year to year. Again, if you're on an amortization schedule, you know, when you go to buy a car, sometimes if you finance from a car manufacturer, they want more interest up front and principal later. So in 3 years you go to turn it in, the car is not worth what you owe on it. Sometimes amortization schedules for this type of thing run similarly or not. In other words, you may pay more the first 2 years, and then the last 8 of a 10-year note, your annual service goes down. So again, every year this number gets changed or is looked at to make sure that those levies are collecting exactly what you need to pay the bank for your debt.
Would you say generally that most school districts, when they do pass that bond levy, that they just automatically collect what is needed? I mean, is this a unique case?
Absolutely unique.
Okay.
Now, I know I'm still a relatively new auditor. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know of any of my colleagues that are running situations where their school boards are taking from other funds to pay their debt.
Right.
It is assumed that when you pass a debt issuance, that issuance will cover the debt service because it cannot, by statute, cannot be used for anything else. So what we tend to do, tricks of the trade are, if you need to collect $100, I would set the rate to collect $105 just to make sure that the delinquency rate isn't 92 instead of 95. To make sure that my school has what it needs to pay its debt, and at the end of the 30-year note, you might have $25,000 or $30,000 left over. Mm-hmm. You can't just go spend that. She's got to go before the Conflicts Court judge, and he's got to go with her and say, "Please, can we use this money for something else?" Because you can't just use it for something different because the voters only approved it for debt. Mm-hmm. So it is not. I was going to say normal. That's not the right word. It's not common to have a situation where the debt is not self-funded by levies that were passed for that purpose.
Okay. And then also, I noticed the column there with the TIF revenue. If we go back to the permanent improvement forecast, where he had the line that showed that TIF revenue, I think it has increased slightly over the years and stuff. Do we have flexibility with that? Where if that increased more than we had forecasted, could some of that be also sent over to the debt service to impact whatever the collected millage is in a certain year?
Yeah, I mean, the TIF revenue does not have to just go to the PI fund, so
right.
there is flexibility there if we were to free up some money in the PI fund,
right.
So we're not always playing catch-up.
Right.
It just can't go the other way. The point I was making, that debt money's got to be used for debt.
Yes.
The money can be used, it's like general fund can be used for anything,
right.
But money's procured for debt purposes have
right.
to be used for debt.
So, okay.
Anyway, you had asked me when we spoke earlier about the impact of that.
Yes.
Do you want me to say anything about that?
Sure. You mean like as far as the dollar, the cost per 100,000? Sure.
You know, what you see in voter guides and when mm-hmm. everybody's talking about levies, whether it's for a cemetery levy or something like this, the common topic is per $100,000 of value.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a relatively easy calculation. Really, it is. If you've got a $100,000 house, it's going to cost you $2 million is about $70 a year.
I think.
No. $350,000 house is about $245 a year.
And remember, we did talk about the difference between a new levy versus a current, continuing one, because with the new ones, you don't get the rollback and the homestead reimbursements.
If the board did approve, just for ease of calculations, I have
right.
no idea, and I don't want to influence your opinion in any way, shape, or form,
mm-hmm.
but the two is an even number, so add two to your existing debt millage of 6.7,
mm-hmm.
It just becomes 8.7.
Right.
It's just the total. So,
right.
so 8.7 times the $100,000 was 35,000 times the millage rate. It's considered existing money. So everybody that pays this tax still gets the rollbacks on it. It's not new dollars. It's not a new voted issue.
Right.
It's not a replacement levy. Debt is handled very differently than all of the other levies that are subject to the reduction factor. So there would be no loss of those rollbacks, and it just by
right.
increasing this, as we know, you did this last year, and then 2 years before that,
right.
kind of baby steps some of that millage, because the board has not been collecting its full debt millage for
right since probably 2005,
since
that levy, which was 2005,
right.
right, before we lost TPP,
because there was so much TPP,
right.
and I think
a lot of things have happened since then.
Kind of save the taxpayers a little bit because they had right. sources of revenue that were coming in from other places,
right.
So that really was a far-thinking decision as far as I'm concerned. But now it's a little bit different. But
right.
yeah, he's got a little bit of an example there. So you can wrap
right.
up.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Any questions? Thank you for your
questions.
Thank
sure.
you.
Thank you.
Elementary staff, I was thinking rich math problem.
That's
right. Right. And you can go to the auditor's website, and she's got a tax calculator. It's
good.
Wonderful.
Thank you for saying that.
Okay.
It's a really good thing. It's a wonderful thing because this stuff is confusing. Capital letters, bold underscore. It is really, really confusing. I mean, when you do it for a living. So, look for your property. My website is a living, breathing entity. It's changing all the time. So go in. We've got a real simple search. Search by, if you live at 123 Mary Lane, search by 123, hit enter. It'll bring up all the 123s in the county. You can pick yours so you can just put your street name. And then you can actually go, where do my taxes go?
Right.
Click on that link on the side, and you can see mm-hmm. exactly how much Marysville Schools collected from you, how much the city of Marysville, how much mm-hmm. Paris Township, for example, or Liberty Township, or wherever you live. It's a really good tool.
It is not. I mean, it lists every single levy,
every
too.
Single levy,
so you can see the years that things were
yeah.
voted on and passed. And
it's really, really
it is.
Tool.
It's very nice.
Sure. So we talked a little bit there about, this column here shows the total millage needed. So again, like we said, it changes annually based on what the interest and principal is for that particular year. So on total, we're looking, a little over 9 mils each year to cover the additional needed each year to cover. I think on average, it's about 2.6. That again, that number is going to change a little bit based on
right.
the bump in valuation we just talked about. So to kind of give a big picture view, so this graph shows the current current status of the PI fund based on where the millage is at right now, and assuming that we're still subsidizing that debt. So you see that the blue line there is expenditures, the red line is revenue. So we've got expenditures exceeding revenue in basically every year of the forecast. We've got a nice healthy balance. We kind of, you know, kind of put a hold on a lot of PI expenditures. So we've got a nice healthy balance right now, but with expenditures exceeding revenue, it's going to be eating into it every year. And you can see there's a, you know, it's just basically a big drop off, run out of money in the PI fund right around fiscal year 17. I created a couple other scenarios, one in which if the board were to vote to increase the bond millage by 1 mil, okay? So, you know, basically all I did there is I come into my debt tab and I changed the amount of TIF or PI revenue that's going to be transferred over. That goes over into the forecast, and I'm decreasing the transfer outline each year. And then just, again, looking at the big picture, with that 1 mil, we still have expenditures exceeding revenue pretty much every year in the forecast. It does slow down the time frame where we actually run out of money on the ending balance. You can see the green line there, the ending balance. We would run out of money right around fiscal year 20. And the final scenario I did is if we were to allow the bond millage to be self-funded, meaning the millage would just roll up to the whatever is needed to cover that. If we were to do that, now we're finally getting into, we have some years where revenue does exceed expenditures. You can see the ending balance is pretty healthy. We don't run out of money until fiscal year 29, which is, you know, crazy to say because that's so far out. You know, who knows what's going to happen. And, you know, the first thing I thought when I looked at that is, you know, even with that, wow, that does get ugly there towards the end. But the reason for that is once you get that far out, we're looking at about $10 million in roofing repairs at that point. So that'll be a whole other discussion for whoever.
Some other board, maybe, right?
So I'm not sure if the PI fund was ever meant for $10 million worth of roofing repairs. So we'll see what happens at that point. But this shows, you know, that we would be able to really get caught up and you know, maintain, have the PI fund do what it was meant to do. Any questions?
Thank you. I mean, I appreciate you asking Andrea to come in and explain that to us. And again, I know each of us have spent some additional time with you so that we have a better understanding of how all these numbers work out. Any questions, anybody, right now? Okay.
Just as a review, Todd, what things can be taken care of out of the PI forecast? What kind of things are we talking about? I know you hit it a couple meetings ago, but
in terms of what we'd be spending the money on?
Right.
You know, some of the big ticket items are the new school buses. I mean, that's one of the areas where I know Ronnie, our transportation director, would say we're a little behind and he would like to get caught up there. And Mike sitting there, I know he would say that asphalt, which is a very expensive annually to do and is something that we're, again, a little behind on. You know, we're okay on the roofs. Those are kind of further out there. I've seen some pictures of some maintenance vehicles where it looks like they've tried everything but duct tape. So we've got some work to do there.
Technology,
curriculum. We actually do our copier lease out of there. And then just anything related to anything that's going to, you know, have a lifespan of over 5 years, usually typically related to the building, whether it's windows, flooring, furnishings, those kinds of things.
Safety equipment. Yeah.
One of my liaison responsibilities as the maintenance department, and I met with Jeff Borgo and my wife, and they gave me, and I want to pass this out to a member of the board, and I've got a couple of other copies if somebody would like one. They were kind enough to put together a list of all the different maintenance areas, all the things that the maintenance department is responsible for. And money certainly is a place where some of that, where some of the money can be spent. There's some things that the maintenance department has done at Mill Valley. The exterior lights were replaced with much more efficient lights. They were able to get I don't remember all the dollar numbers, but were able to get a fairly significant refund for the purchase of the lights themselves. And they also operate at a savings on electricity. I know that Mike has, and Jeff, they've got a lot of projects like that where they need some money up front to be able to install energy efficient equipment that saves us on the operating side in terms of our electric bill. And if you go by Mill Valley, which I did at night, the building is nicely lit, looks very attractive, and it's not costing the district as much on the operating side of things to be able to function. So I think part of this is an understanding that permanent improvement money can have an impact on the operating side of things also. That it's not a closed environment. It's not a closed circuit to where only one portion of our district will be affected.
That's a great lead-in to the reminder that we really are focused on a comprehensive financial plan, which kind of was a term that was coined a couple years ago, I think.
Right.
And you're just so, it's so right that yes. everything is connected.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's all for me.
That's all for you. Okay.
Thanks,
Tom. Yeah, thank you very much. See, for the board president's report, I just wanted to announce that our building liaison program is off to a good start. I think each of the board members, well, I know each of the board members selected two buildings to focus on this year, and I believe all of us have made some visits, and I'm guessing we might hear a few comments later on in our meeting. And then wanted to let everybody know that Diane and I had attended an education summit hosted by OSU Marion. The focus of the summit was on professional development for staff and the new College Credit Plus program. And that's something we're going to be following closely, that College Credit Plus program. It replaces PSEO, which is Post-Secondary Education Opportunities, I think. And that's going to replace it in 2015 as a result of House Bill 487. And there are some pretty significant changes that will impact our district if no changes are made to that. So, again, it was a good place to. It was a good summit, and so we'll see what happens there. Chamber of Commerce highlights. The Chamber held its first BizFest in Uptown Marysville back at the beginning of October, and our Fab Lab was a part of the event. Superintendent Mankins spoke about the Early College High School and the Fab Lab and how they were going to be preparing our students for careers, and then Columbus State President Dr. Harrison also spoke about our partnership. And I think the Chamber was just pointing out how important it was to have a well-educated workforce available when they're trying to attract businesses to our community. So another highlight of the event was that Marysville High School graduate Derek Brown was a speaker, and he has successfully started a technology-based business, and boy, was he impressive. I was proud to know that he was a Marysville graduate. Also, the Chamber is hoping to hold their next board meeting at our Early College building, so we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. A reminder that the Capitol Conference is coming up November 10th through the 12th, I think. Is everybody planning to attend? At least one day, maybe? Maybe, maybe not? Okay. Hopefully. Most of us will be there, so I'm not sure if we got...
Did you have the materials?
Okay, good.
Right now.
Mr. Johnson has the material so we can start looking over those breakout sessions and try and plan which ones we're going to attend. Also, I was looking through some newspapers and wanted to congratulate the Lady Monarch tennis team. They had their best single season record in school history this year. And a shout out to all the other extracurriculars. Wanted to thank Mrs. Dawn Burns. She recently agreed to volunteer her time to manage a technology program for some residents at Halcyon Village. I think it's called Emeritus now. But I've had a connection with the residents out there. They've helped with some of the levees in the past. And as a part of them helping, we've had some conversations. They talked about how they really wanted to learn how to use their technology better. And so we had a volunteer before, but that volunteer left the community. And so I contacted the high school, and Mr. Cook said that he thought maybe Mrs. Burns would be interested in doing that. And so she gathered up about 5 students, and they are going out there on Monday nights, spending 1 to 2 hours with the residents to help them learn how to use their iPads and iPhones and laptops. And they're doing a lot of talking, too, and really having a great time. So I appreciate her taking that on. And let's see, what else do I have? We're going to have a resolution to possibly approve our board goals and work plan for the 2014-15 year. And I just wanted to thank the board and Mrs. Mankins and Mr. Johnson for all of their input and time spent developing this document. I think whether the resolution passes or not, we've really had some very productive conversations. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And that's all I have. And now the High Point Report, Mr. Decco.
Hi there.
You've been busy. You've been very busy this last month.
Let me start off with some updates from the superintendent, Dr. Price. He made a correction. He had reported earlier that the FFA convention is going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. It will be in Louisville, not Kansas City. He had reported out earlier it was going to be Kansas City. The venue is actually going to be Louisville. And he recommended that instructors from Kenton, Upper Cyber Valley, and Marysville attend the convention. There's a teacher from Marysville, Ashley Thompson, recommended that she attend the National Sports Judging Competition. It's actually attending the FFA convention. High Point has entered into contract with Freytag and Associates to do a facility study, so they're kind of in the early stages of that, and they're looking at the possibility of state grants to help fund some of that future facilities. Dr. Price did a number of public relations activities last month. He's meeting with, he met with the new superintendent at Mechanicsburg. He's been having some collaboration meetings with the dean at Clark State, Dr. Singh, to discuss annual enrollment. And I think long term, there's this image of they could get an adequate enrollment. I think the number is 500. That's a sweet spot that they would actually have a permanent presence out there at High Point. There was a Sloan birthday celebration, and many of you know Dr. Sloan left a large endowment to High Point, and so it's a celebration they do each year. Treasury report, nothing out of the ordinary there. Shelly Sweeney gave update to the main campus. One of the things she indicated that Mondays would be designated as the day to meet with the high school supervisors. Parent-teacher conferences were held in late September. And Deb Wortman, who is the director for the satellite location, she's working with supervisors and the CBI instructors to prepare for audits. There's audits that will be coming up soon. And there's been a lot of expansion in programming at Kenton in manufacturing, health, and IT. So there's a lot of work in that area. And she's also meeting on a regular basis with community and employers to determine some of their needs. And one of the common themes that she's hearing consistently is the need to build up the soft skills of the students. And I like to use the term workforce readiness, right? Work readiness. We would say, you know, how to interview, how to prepare a resume, how to address seems pretty basic, but those are one of the things that the employers are coming back to Deb and saying, hey, there needs to be some work. So they're actually developing some curriculum around that as part of their studies. Some teacher updates from Marysville Health Technology, Sally Andrews. They have a full class of 25 in the health technology program. They're preparing for officer elections. And two officers, Allison Clark and Margie Burkhammer, I hope I pronounced that right, will attend the Washington Leadership Conference. It sounds like a fun opportunity. They're going to meet with some folks from the Surgeon General's office, and they'll be there when both houses are in session, and then they'll visit some of the memorials, of course. Career-based intervention from Amy Nickel. Enrollment is up slightly in that area compared to last year. These folks are charged with managing the marketplace. And so I think this year the online store is moving to credit payment, right? So it pays with cash anymore. So they're including the ability to pay with credit cards. And then the 7th and 8th graders are learning about the value of school and studying career requirements and rewards. The agribusiness and production system, Ashley Thompson, these folks were involved early on in planning a big welcome meeting for incoming students and their parents. They were gearing up also for competitions in soil judging and ag engineering. And the course judging team is preparing for national competition in October. Supply chain management, which is kind of a new program here at Marysville. The students are pretty excited and positive about that program. There's like two disciplines at this juncture. One of them is kind of the logistics supply chain, and they're learning the importance of purchasing, and then there's this entrepreneurial track also within that program. They're developing your own business. And then finally, the Teaching Profession Academy. The students are very active and engaged in internships at their local schools. We have been busy also looking at the 5-year plan, and so there's been a couple of work meetings regarding that subject matter. From what I saw, is it looks like the 5-year plan, a couple key emphases. One will be to try to expand enrollment at Satellite as well as the main campus. They're looking at increasing their investment, too, in some of the equipment, robotics, and so forth. That looks like that'll be an emphasis in the 5-year plan as well. So that's good to see, I think. Dr. Price has announced his retirement, and so the board is actively searching for his replacement. 6 folks applied. It's been narrowed down to 3 candidates, and next week there will be a series of interviews for these 3 candidates. And the plan is to have his successor decided by November 7th, obviously based on next week's interviews. Hopefully that goes well. Let's see what else. And then the 2 students were recognized as Students of the Month. One of them was from Marysville. Perhaps you know this young man, Travis Borders, mechanical construction. So he was honored as Student of the Month, as well as Megan O'Brien from Bell Fountain and the Animal Management Program.
All right.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's see. Legislative report.
In the state legislature, the one thing that has continued is hearings on House Bill 597 on Common Core. October 14th, the Rules and Reference Committee held their most recent meeting, and at that meeting, only proponents, supporters of the bill, were allowed to testify. I've continued to express this board has been supportive of continuing in this direction, express that opinion that we should kind of wait and see what happens, get further down the road in terms of the implementation of the current standards, hopefully that would be the decision that comes out. So at this time, if you go to the website and start looking for hearings and all that kind of stuff, there's virtually nothing going on.
Yeah.
The halls down there must echo because everybody's home campaigning. But right after the election, things on the biennium are kind of get started, and be contacting legislators and letting them know that we hope that they continue to fund our school system and increase the funding for it, either in general or in very specific ways. So.
Great. Thank you. Safety and Dread Committee report.
Okay. There we're continuing to recruit local leaders for our 3-minute presentations that we're going to be doing now throughout the year. Our next event will be at Bunsold on December 11th and the 16th for the choir and band concerts. At the high school, we'll target the FFA banquet on March 14th. And then all the ones in between, but we know those for sure that are already on the date. We're anticipating that we'll do approximately 3 speaking engagements per year per building to target different populations and times of the year. So that's what we're cutting that to. Parents tips will continue to go out once a month at the middle school and high school. This can also be pasted onto the school's Facebook page and through Twitter. Okay, so add that. Audio messages, we'll continue to edit audio messages, Mike will, for placement at the football games. We will also use these at the basketball games. And then Chase Blackburn has been a recent addition to the list.
Great.
Okay, so we have him doing an audio. The football kickoff was a good way to get the logo and brief message into the hands of the adults. Over 700 Start Talking cards were given out and 400 pizza coupons with special social host message on it. So that was an excellent way to kick it off. Additionally, 400 red and blue pom-poms were given away. Several high school students and Marysville middle school students helped distribute the material and wore the hot pink t-shirts with everything on there. We hopefully are hoping that there might be another opportunity to do the same similar event during the basketball season. Let's see. We would like to provide Start Talking information to parents waiting in line for pickup at the Bunsold dance on October 30th. Good. So we're thinking to have everything, and as they're waiting in line to pick up the kids, we're just going to hand it to them in their cars when they pull up. Let's see. Mike added that we are going to contact Chrissy to discuss adding it to the district site.
Good.
Okay, so when you go on, we'll have a little tab on there maybe to that parents can go on the district site and get updated on it. Or to ask questions or things like that. And that's it.
I know you went to a lot of the parent meetings for fall sports.
Right.
Do you plan to do that for the winter?
Yes. What they're doing is they're going to target about 3 per school.
Okay.
So they hit all the different areas. So
right.
I think Mike's kind of looking at that, and Sean, you know, like what are the big events that,
right,
you know,
you'll
like
get the
so
most
far
impact.
They've already picked out. Yeah.
Right.
We're the largest crowd.
And I can't, you have a group of students who are a part of this, who are kind of like ambassadors for this?
They are. These are some of the kids that helped out. And then I think they're going to use the same kids that and put the same thing together that they did at football for basketball.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, next on to public participation. I believe we have one. Okay, we have Julia Goodman. And so, Julia, if you would come up and let us know your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay, so I'm supposed to say my name and address?
Yes, please.
Okay, my name is Julia Goodman. My address is 1401 Mill Road, Marysville.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me speak to you tonight. I wanted to express my concern as a parent of an elementary school student that I understand when the levy failed a couple years ago that you had to cut back specials. And as you have been able to start adding back some new programs to some of the schools, I know you've added bowling and some other things to the high school. I really urge you to consider adding back into the elementary schools single teachers per building for the specials. Right now, this building shares multiple teachers for specials, and I feel that hurts children with the continuity of those programs when you have multiple teachers teaching the same subject and trying to keep everything as one continuous flow of information to the town. So I just wanted to express my concern and thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's see, we're on item number 8 now, so I need an a motion to approve the minutes from our September 18th regular board meeting.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Smith, second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Pleasant. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, our Marysville Board of Education goals. Need a motion to approve our Marysville Board of Education goals and the work plan that goes along with it.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Yes.
Second by Mr. Smith. We have some discussion on this.
Well, I think to report to people that we spent several special meetings, several hours sitting and talking, discussing what the school board ought to do. If nothing else, I think this document helps to set some direction and it helps to set goals. And I think the other thing is important is to align the district with it. So what we're asking of students, what we're asking of staff, what we're asking of administrators are the same kinds of things that we're asking ourselves as board members. And I have, one of them was to increase our liaison work, our communication with staff and students in the district. And I've enjoyed the opportunities that I've been able to take advantage of this time. Principal Lentz is nice enough to let me come up at lunch one day and watch the kids eat. We got to a PTO meeting and so forth. And so getting a chance to really see a lot, not everything, but a lot of the things that are going on and learning quite a bit about the school and the community and so forth. Okay. Hopefully the other aspects of this will blossom and flourish in the same kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to point out that I know we spent a lot of time working on this, but if you go to our board, if you go to the policies that are, have them online and also in paper form, but there is actually a policy governing board goals. But I think, and I think the policy is a good one, but I also think it's a real broad overview of what the board should be focused on, and I agree with you. I think that the whole focus of developing these was to align ourselves with the district strategy, but look at it from the point of view of what a board can and can't do and what we should and shouldn't do. And so I think that we just have a really nice detailed work plan, and we'll be able to revise it as needed every year, whatever. But I think, you know, communications was something that we felt was really important as board members. And so not only with the different buildings, but with our community as well. So we're going to try and spend a little bit more time on our website with our technology guru, Mr. Pleasant, and just try and, you know, try and help support and promote our district.
So. Well, I think they'll be helpful for me to kind of organize my time, you know, going forward this year. But also part of it is splitting up what we're going to be doing so that somebody on the board is kind of hitting all the things that we think are important to get done to help the district with its goals. Now, Sue, did we say anything about reporting whether we actually succeed in taking all these?
Well, I was going to make a comment that if this does pass, then I intend to try and highlight some of those goals or the parts of the work plan that we're hitting on. Try and make a comment, a few comments
like
each month.
In the meetings or on the website?
In the meetings, well, both. I mean, I think we'll try and keep some things updated on our website, but then point that out in the meeting. Even talking about the building liaison, I mean, that's an important part of our work plan. And so I'm sure that every month people are going to have comments to make about things that they saw in their building visits and all the great instruction going on and the great leadership out there. So, yes, we'll make sure that we didn't just approve this and then throw it in a big pile of papers or something. So, okay, any other comments? Roll call then.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And again, thank you very much, everybody. And I think it was a good start. Next resolution is the resolution on the board property tax debt service subsidy. On this item, we actually have two resolutions that are in your packet. One resolution states that if somebody made a motion for this, it would determine, it would allow the full amount of millage needed in 2015 to pay the debt service in the district's voted bonds to be levied and collected from district property taxpayers. The other resolution leaves a blank in there saying that we would increase the millage rate request to a certain amount of mills for collection year 2015. So having those two resolutions, I am looking for a motion for one of these.
Did you say it's in the packet?
Oh, we do have copies here, I'm sorry. Okay, that's one. Wait, those two go together. Here's another one with two.
Oops.
Okay. I have. Everybody, does everybody have them now?
I think I have set one of them.
Okay.
Which one do you need?
Okay, then you need that one. Do you have them?
I've got one.
Which one do you need? The blank
need
one?
The one with the blank one.
Okay.
Okay, I'll move that we adopt the resolution that under Section 2, that these county auditors requested the levy collect full amount of property taxes necessary to pay the debt service due on the district's outstanding voter approved bonds.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion from Mr. Smith and a second from Mrs. Powers. Discussion on this.
I know that money is always difficult. Our district has made a decision in the past that money for permanent improvements would be used to pay debt. And I know in talking with the maintenance department and looking at our 20-year forecast going forward, we've got some things that need to be fixed. We've got some maintenance issues that have been put off. Our superintendent told us that we had video equipment at Raymond that made it difficult to rather quickly identify what went on in that building. And so that's, you know, that would be a concern not only in that building but in all buildings in terms of health and safety. In the recommendation, looking 20 years out, one of the things that I talked about with Todd was the fact that the recommendation was that this year and next year, I think the recommendation was we buy 19 buses, and that was about $3 million or something in that neighborhood. The life of the bus is about 10 years. That was the assumption in this study, and so we're getting a recommendation to replace 19 buses. We've got a lot of buses approaching, you know, that age. Mm-hmm. So at some point, we have to do something. And as you mentioned, district finance when you act on one part, there affects another part. And so I think, you know, there's some other benefits that can be derived from taking this action. In terms of the impact on individuals, if most people in this room are like me, pay a mortgage on a monthly basis, and so whatever number comes up, you divide that by 12, and that's what it costs you on a monthly basis. I can't remember what number on $100,000.
$70 to $80, I would say. Yeah. On a $100,000 home.
Okay. So if you divide that by 12, that would give you $10. An indication of what your escrow account. Everybody that has a mortgage gets a letter from their lender that says your escrow account's going to change because your insurance went up, taxes went up, or your taxes went down, or your insurance went down, or something changed. So that number changes pretty much on an annual basis. So the monthly fee would be tied to, 1/12 of what that is. And I would hope that people would place the health and safety, maintenance of the buildings, high on their priorities. Our schools are amazing buildings. They're amazing facilities. We put our kids in them every single day, and we've got to do what needs to be done for the kids.
I agree with Dick that we have not, as Andrew said, we've kind of been in a unique situation that we haven't asked for that replacement all along. Mm-hmm. So I think that we think that the boards have done a good job in trying to keep it low. But at the same time, as we continue this, we're only going to go deeper and deeper. So to go and ask the people who have already voted on it, I think we did a good job by taking it slowly. But I think at this point, with the needs that are out there, and like Andrea said, we should be collecting it. We should have been collecting it. And so I think now, we still have the lowest taxes around. And even with that, it's not... again, we have to look out for the safety of the kids and our investment in all of our buildings and the teachers and everything else. We can't let it go down. So.
Yeah, I think I understand the issues there, and I agree with what you guys are saying. That the question I still have is about the history. How did it get started? Does anybody here?
Well, I have tried to go back through and look at a variety of things.
I guess you could call
right, right. That. I mean, because it really, I believe it started with that last bond that passed in 2005. And I'm not sure why the decision was made not to collect it. However, that decision was made. At that time, that was right around the time when we lost tangible personal property tax. I think we also had newer buildings, that bond passed, we built bond sold, we had several elementary schools that were newer, and so our maintenance needs were not what they are today. So 2005, now here we are 2014, 9 years down the road. Anybody who builds a house knows what happens over 9 or 10 years, things start breaking down, needing to be replaced. And so I know that back in the fall of 2011, I think after Andrea was voted in, she took a look at our bonds, and I think she was surprised at that point because she saw that we were not collecting what had been voted. And I know the board had some conversation, and did vote to increase the collected millage, 1 mil, back the fall of 2011. And then when Amy and I came on board, I think it was about a year later, we passed another increase of a 0.5 mil, and actually had back in June in 2012, we talked about our comprehensive financial plan and looked at working our way up to collecting the full amount. I think a couple things have happened since then. We had our professionally done audit of our permanent improvement maintenance needs, and we had the 20-year forecast that, I mean, it's so detailed. I had Todd send me the spreadsheet, and I don't know how many tabs are on there, but, I mean, they went through every building and spoke with a lot of department heads to really get a good feel for what had been going on in the district, what needs to happen. Used industry standards on life of equipment and on replacement costs. He included an inflation factor. And so I think we finally have a permanent improvement forecast that we can have confidence in. And I think it's pretty apparent when you look at that forecast, when you think about the graphs that Todd showed us, you know, our needs are much more than what we're bringing in to cover them. So,
and the security aspect.
Back
in 2005, we didn't have to worry as
right.
much as we do now with having to have the building secured and the cameras and all the stuff that is happening nowadays to keep everybody safe in the buildings.
Right.
It's a huge cost.
And I think technology is a big issue, too, and not just for assessments. I mean, we know that park assessments are coming here, and we need technology for that. But more importantly, we need technology so that our students are going to be prepared. You know, I mean, that's how you do things nowadays. And I was just in Northwood, and I know, I mean, they have the highest population in the elementaries, and they do not have very much technology. And one of the, you know, a volunteer from Northwood sent us an email and said, hey, I've been in other districts, and you guys don't have very much technology. What's going on? You know, well, you only have so much money to go around. And so I think that... you know, we're responsible for making sure that our facilities are maintained so that they're safe for our staff and students, and we're also responsible to our community. They voted to, you know, approve an investment in our buildings, and we need to make sure that they're maintained too. So, does that help, Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments? All right. Roll call.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. All right. Motion carries. Now we move on to the treasurer items. Do we have a motion to approve the treasurer items? I'll make that motion. Second?
Second.
Mr. Pleasant? Discussion?
The only thing I would point out that might stick out to you in there that we haven't already talked about would be the COG agreement. What that COG agreement is doing is allowing the COG, the Union County COG, made up of the city, the county, and the school district, the use of our fiber lines. Each of those entities will be approving a similar resolution so that all entities will be sharing that fiber. The purpose of that is to reach our ultimate goal of actually generating revenue to help pay for our internet, future fiber repairs, those kinds of things.
COG is the Council of Governments. That's the school district, the county, and the city. We work together. It was in place before I got here, maybe a year or two before I got here. And really, the first project was the fiber project and creating connectivity to different
areas,
those three entities, I guess, and producing that fiber availability. And then we have continued to try to define our work as possibly leasing lines of fiber to different groups and et cetera. So that's kind of where our work is currently.
And I also see the YMCA lease on there is just the same lease that we've had in the past, and that's been a great partnership, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, just for those of you who are new, when we had the reductions at Creekview, when they went to do the master schedule, left us in a spot where we did not have any adult supervision during lunch periods. At the same time, the Y came to me and said they needed some space for their gymnastics program. So currently, they provide fitness activities for our students at Creekview during lunch and trade for the use of the gym at the early college building. Mm-hmm. And that's been a fantastic partnership with Rick Shortell and his group.
And that's where our gymnastics club team practices.
Correct.
There as well.
They practice there
as nice,
well.
Yeah. Good. Any questions or any? Nope. All right. Roll call.
Ms. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
All right. Motion carried. Next item is a resolution supporting all day, every day kindergarten. So, do we have a motion to recommend the support of implementation of all day, every day kindergarten?
Sue, I don't have a text for that. What is the resolution?
It's just a recommend the resolution of the board to support the implementation of all day, every day kindergarten.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's just basically a statement of support that for next school year, we would support the implementation of all day, every day kindergarten.
Let's get it put on the table first. Let's go ahead and get a motion.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second
by Mr. Pleasant, and now we can have our discussion.
I know when I got elected, Ed and I went on a tour of the buildings, and I asked the administrators in every elementary building if you could have one thing that would make your building better, what would it be? And every single one, without exception, said all day, every day kindergarten. And I know that this is rather targeted because it will impact the elementary buildings and the involvement expenditures and some money. And we have other buildings and we have other teachers that, at least in the short run, may not see a direct benefit from the expenditures of the funds. But I think that this is very important to do. I was looking at the ODE website today and had a list of all the school districts in the state and whether they're offering all day, every day for all children and so forth. And it's incredible to go down and you see how many schools, small schools out in the country, big schools and cities that are offering all day, every day to all of their students. A number of schools in Central Ohio, larger school systems, have been operating as we have, Upper Arlington, Wilmington, to name each other. But it's clearly something that is, I think, going to help. As I've thought about this, and I've spent a lot of time, and I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So,
I know that the students in the elementary are getting a lot of stress, the teachers in the elementary are getting a lot of stress. And I think this is something that, as a board, we can do to move forward to help those students and those teachers. And then in the future, we'll have an opportunity to expand and do more, hopefully, for other areas of our district and for other buildings and other teachers.
And I think I think the statistics that that was presented to us is so graphic. Mm-hmm. Again, we're placing some of our students in a situation of inequitability, and I don't think that can be done. Mm-hmm.
The data you presented last month make me think it's not all going to be expense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's going to be benefits.
Right.
Okay. And we've got some letters from teachers I don't know if any of you are here who wrote letters.
Yes, they are.
I wanted to say that those are very helpful, too. What I haven't heard, maybe somebody here has anybody been canvassing parents and could share some of that point of view? Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Yeah.
I feel like they could do that.
I mean, I've spoken to a variety. I've spoken to people who have kids in the schools. I have spoken to adults who do not have kids in the school. I've spoken to adults whose kids have gone through the system and are out of school here. And across the board, everybody was very supportive. They understood, well, and I think it's important to go back and make sure everybody understands what the current scenario is in our school district. And I'll even go back to when my kids were in kindergarten. At that point, they went to school every day for a half a day. And then I think, I don't know, was it about six or seven years ago, to save money in transportation, they changed it so that it was an alternating day schedule. The kids would go to school all day long, but an alternating day. So 1 week they'd go 2 days, the next week they'd go 3 days. Incredibly challenging for students, staff, parents, in my opinion. I mean, I didn't realize that it had changed. When I heard that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't have to deal with that. And then especially think of last year with all those missed days. There were some students who, I've heard that they missed 10 plus days in school. And at that level, at that age, it's like you're starting from scratch when they come back. And then there's the other, you know, parents who say, boy, if my kids are going to school all day, every day, it's saving in their expenses for childcare, you know, which is kind of irrelevant to the school district, but they were supportive for that reason too. But mainly the focus was just on making sure that our kids all had the same opportunity. Because along with the alternating day schedule, we offer all day every day for a fee. So the fee ranges anywhere from $2,300 a year to $2,500 a year. And so I think about 90 students are taking advantage of that right now. Is it more than that? I can't remember. Yeah. But obviously not all of them. And so that gap is growing. And they're starting first grade at very different abilities. And that's, it's just not, I don't think it's fair.
I think it's important to remember you don't leave kindergarten anymore just knowing the alphabet people.
Right.
And I'm not being flippant. When I left kindergarten, you had to know the alphabet people. Now you have to know how to read and read well. And we have a third grade reading guarantee, mm-hmm. where the stakes keep increasing for our students. If the bar was set at 400 to pass the test, we would have retained kids in third grade this year. The bar is not there yet. It's a gradual system to get to that point. So, as we think about early intervention and the importance of K-1-2 literacy leading to that end, and we want, let's be honest, it's our moral compass to have kids reading at that level when they leave third grade, regardless if it's a law or not.
Right.
That K-1-2 piece is essential.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I liked your comment too, Brian, about the fact that it's not just cost. You know, there are definite benefits because, as I was thinking about this, the more I thought about it, I said it's in my mind, it's really not a cost. It's an investment. You know, I mean, we're investing in our kids, and that in turn is an investment in our community.
I think you will see, like, having the tutoring area and everything mm-hmm. cut down, too.
Right. Intervention.
Right. The intervention mm-hmm. area and everything mm-hmm. by starting it out and keeping them all on that page. So.
Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. I also wanted to thank the people who sent the letters. That was we appreciate that. We welcome people letting us know what they think. So Next item, we have a separate superintendent item, and that would be a motion to approve Mike Powers as a volunteer coach for Bunsold Middle School football. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Any comments? Roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Abstain.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Next item is our superintendent items. And I have a motion to approve these superintendent items.
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Okay, Ms. Mankins?
Yeah, I'll hit on a couple of things. The bowling proposal is in there this time. We have an opportunity to add a bowling club, if you will. We have a volunteer. I don't know if he
is. Yes,
there
he is.
Who has volunteered to run that. It's my understanding as well that we're doing lane rental for free. So the cost incurred to the student would be shirt and ball, from my understanding, if they didn't already have a bowling ball. So we would not be charging the participation rate or anything like that at this point. This would just be a club to gain interest and to continue, I think, maybe a similar process as was done with lacrosse in the past. So excited to add another opportunity for our kids. And certainly we know when they're more engaged in school, they're less engaged in other activities. So excited about that. There are several school trips on there. I didn't know if anyone had specific questions on those either, but there were several school trips on as well. We had a couple retirements, but my pages
yes.
seem to be out of order, so I don't want to mess.
Gruner and Fleming.
Right. Renee, who's certainly been in the district for quite some time, Dave Fleming as well. Again, my sheets are out of order, so I apologize. Here we go. So we certainly wish them well. I know the union has been working closely with us for teachers who are retiring this year. They do not have to go through the OTES process this year, so it was a great partnership to be able to talk to staff about getting those letters in early. So that's why they're on this early. They are finishing the school year, but wish them well. As well, you have supplementals in there for the fall or for the winter sports. There's cell phone stipend in there. A couple of people have asked about. So just for clarification, we needed to, since we have a new treasurer and we've been reviewing several pieces of how people are receiving different stipends, there was in their contract, it was never spoken to. So this is not a change or an addition. It's what they've been receiving, but it does need to be reflected in the board minutes. So that's why that is on there as well. And I think those are the big things, except for policy changes. I know Jonathan sent kind of an overarching list of how that policy has changed. I know Brian and Dick both sit on that committee. The other kind of brand new policy that I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about is an open enrollment policy. Certainly, what we'd like to do is provide the opportunity for students from other districts to attend Marysville. We don't currently have an open enrollment policy. This policy would allow us to do so. Certainly, you can read the different pieces in there. Our students would always have priority over students coming in. The process is laid out pretty well, I think. There are restrictions in there as far as, you know, we won't take kids that make us higher an additional teacher, or if it puts us beyond where we're comfortable with class size and things of that nature. But it does provide an opportunity for, you know, students from other communities, grandparents who live in the district. I don't know, Brian or Dick, if you have anything to add from the committee standpoint.
Well, I was able to go to most of those meetings, and all the policy changes are looked at very carefully by the committee. Nothing is rubber stamped, and they're accepted or recommend it or not, depending on what seems to work for this district. And that includes this open enrollment policy, which has gone over very carefully, line by line, to try to come up with something that makes sense for this district.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with the work of this committee from the standpoint that they get recommendations, they look at it, if they need more time to consider, they certainly don't rush. Policy is not
right.
Very exciting, but if they need additional input, have questions, they can stick that out. Contact other school districts, contact other administrators, contact legal counsel on occasion, recommendations. And I think you mentioned, they look to see how it fits this district. And if it needs to be reworked to our situation, that's what then gets presented to the board. In terms of the open enrollment policy, we were talking about that. We'd like to offer this opportunity to others. Is there a benefit to the district?
Sure. That's what I just said to Tom.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Right.
What happens, for example, if a student comes here from another school district, then the money now, the way the funding works, is the money follows the student to our district. So currently, for example, our students may be open enrolling other places, and then we're taking a deduction for that student leaving. We have students attending now, for example, who are staff students. That's a benefit in the contract. We can't do the deduction back because we're not open enrollment, for example. So that would be a benefit for the district to consider.
And you're sure there were 22 staff members that are doing it at this time?
There are 22 students.
Students.
So multiple students. I think it was 17 staff members, 22 students.
Okay. And I was told by ODE that would actually kick in as soon as the policy was approved, so we would actually be able to get some additional funding this year.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And roughly dollars and cents.
Over 5. For those students alone, it would be prorated, so about a half a year, so right around $60,000.
Mm-hmm. It's about $5,800 a student per year.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So a rough figure by 6,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do quick math.
Okay. I had just a minor suggestion on the policy for the budget priorities. That's the cash balance policy. And I agree, we're trying to make it more clear, and not because it talks about ranges in there, but you know, I think it just wanted to not have those ranges. And so at the end where it says instead of cash balances for the current year and the following four fiscal years fall within the following range, and then it's just 1 month of expenditures, I was thinking about that the wording might be better if it was cash balances for the current year and the following four fiscal years are at least equal to 1 month. Since, you know, because it talks about a range, but we're just saying 1 month. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can just forward this to you and maybe have your committee look at it or something. And I will take no offense if you decide not to do it, but I thought I would at least throw it out there for you. Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Thank you for all the work. I know there was an awful lot of policies in here, so appreciate that work. Roll call then.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And I also wanted to thank Mr. Cusack for your work in getting that club started. I think that's nice to provide another opportunity for our students. So thank you. And thanks for trying to keep me in line. We had quite a few emails here in the last couple of days, so. Okay, last item is the comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith.
Raymond had a fantastic I was absolutely blown away. Drove up to the school, had a very difficult time finding a parking spot so I could get to the festival. And rides and food and games and bounce house. There was and
did you go to bounce house?
No, I didn't. I was too tall. But that was an amazing event. The PPO put that together, created it out, and I think it really demonstrated the sense of community, the sense of family, and the support that you get from that from your parents in that event. So it was well done.
Mr. Luke.
I'm looking forward to the Capitol conference in a couple weeks. I was able to meet with Aaron Cook weeks ago to start these building visits. And we had a good discussion about lots of things going on in the high school. And I did make my presentation to the Union County Board Association. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Common Core, and we talked about the early college high school. And they're very interested in the early college high school. I handed out some flyers. Common Core, we did get a discussion going, but it was a little hesitant. I think people are concerned that this is going to be a divisive, contentious issue. And I wanted to thank Dick for keeping us up to speed about what's going on in the legislature. I find it very helpful to hear those kinds of things, trying to keep it from being unnecessarily divisive. I will say that when I talked to Aaron Cook about it at the high school, he pointed out that if this bill were to pass, that some of the high school kids would have three or four different sets of standards in their high school career. So remember, what we're hearing from the educators and administrators here is it's a lot of change very quickly. Okay, so we're listening to what people are telling us about this Common Core and trying to take it and make sense of it without it being unnecessarily contentious or divisive. So
if I could jump back in on the tail end of that. What I've been doing, and what Brian's been doing, is trying to make sure that we have local control. We're listening to the educators in our district, we're listening to the administrators in our district,
And the more you talk about it, the more you find that we actually all do want the same things. We want systems that work for the kids so that they get the best education possible. And thank you for hosting us tonight.
Yes. Well, great. What a fun meeting. I mean, that's the first time I've ever gotten to stand up and sing. I was ready to jump up and start clapping, too. That was fun. I did get over to Bunsold, and I got to spend a lot of time with Michelle, and she was showing me how they've implemented everything on their the computers and all the merging of all the teachers and everything. So it was really, really neat. Little confusing, you know, to try to learn the system, but it was really, really neat. And then we walked around the whole school, and I really picked it out to go see the Fab Lab, and I pulled up. And the first thing I found out, it's gone.
Crack. I knew. We missed it too. Yes.
Like, are you kidding me? So they're going to call me, and I'm going back over, and we're going to do that. Amy and I are setting up some times because I had some family medical issues come up, so I've kind of been off base for a little bit. But Amy and I are getting together on times to go there, and so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, my visit was with Navin. I attended their PTO. I haven't been to a PTO meeting in 35 years.
I was impressed.
I was impressed with the equal number of parents and staff members. The number of activities that you have going on this year. I mean, I was very impressed with what they're generating and what they're doing. So it was very interesting. I appreciate the opportunity. I'll be back.
Great.
Thanks. I'll be back.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Yeah. One more thing I'd like to say as a grandmother stepping out of the role of this little thing. Thank you very much for how the derailment was handled.
Yes.
Because I have a grandson there. So when I got the call from Sue, of course, I'm at the hospital with my father having surgery, and I'm like, oh, you know. So as she's feeding me what's going on, I was very thankful.
Mr. Johnson?
Well, I was pretty disappointed. I didn't get the same standing ovation for my 20-year forecast. Spent a lot of time on that, a lot of numbers.
Great job.
No, there were a lot of important items tonight, obviously, and I wanted to discredit the board for really, you know, we have some board members that really like to dig into the financial details and some of the others that don't as much, but they all really did dig into the details with this to make an informed decision. And I think that everyone should know the time they did put into that.
I was going to say that's the same thing. Tonight you made a lot of tough decisions, and I appreciate your leadership. I feel like you stepped forward and have the best interests of our students and community in mind with every decision you made this evening. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
We all know that.
Right.
But I appreciate your leadership and willing to be on the right side of right for our kids, and that's important. The part I love the most is that at different times you were all in meeting with us on different issues and really trying to educate and teach ourselves and grow your understanding, and that's one of the
best
parts about leadership. Mm-hmm. I feel like you did a nice job of making informed decisions, so thank you for your leadership.
And I have to thank everybody too, because it was nice. Every time I talked to Todd, I said, oh, yep, so somebody's coming in today, or I went to talk to him, and as I'm leaving, Dick Smith's following me, you know, following in my footsteps, and so I really appreciate that. And I thank you, Missy, for hosting our meeting. You do a great job here. All of your staff does a great job. It was wonderful to come around and see things going on in the classrooms and get to have those first graders ask me some questions, and so I really enjoyed that. And I had a great visit at Edgewood earlier, and I'm looking forward to doing some reading over there, I think, in the next few weeks with some students. So thanks so much for everything that everyone does, and I appreciate the support from our community as well. And with that, how about a motion for adjournment?
I move.
Mr. Pleasant, second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and the meeting is adjourned at